Untold. Stories of suspense.
Verna.
Hello, Hal.
I thought I told you to take the day off.
I left my compact in the office. And you left a sheet of paper on the desk.
Verna,
that was why you gave me the day off. You didn't want to dictate your radio show to me.
Now, look...
Are you going to broadcast what you typed?
I've got to.
But Warren Burke, he's the most powerful man in the city. He not only pulls the strings at City Hall, he's behind the slot machines, the racing room.
And worse, a lot worse.
Well, Hal. Hal, they won't let you put that story over the air.
I'm not recording tonight's show. I'm broadcasting from the station. They won't know what's happening till it's too late.
They will if I tell them.
You won't tell, Verna. If I thought you might, I'd take steps to see that you didn't.
Like tying me up? Gagging me?
If I had to, yes.
Have you gone crazy, Hal? Do you realize what Warren Burke and his gang would do to you if you broadcast this thing? They'd kill you.
I know. But I'm still going to do it.
We'll be back in just a minute to tell you more of tonight's story, Exposé.
Hal, we've got to talk this out.
Yes, Verna. That's exactly what I intend doing.
I've got to make you see how crazy it is.
And I've got to make you see that I have no alternative.
But the accusations you make against Warren Burke...
They're not just accusations. I have proof of all those charges. I have enough information to send Warren Burke to prison for the rest of his life. And maybe I can even send him to the chair.
Killing yourself at the same time.
It'll be the one decent thing I've done in all my life.
That's not true. I've been your secretary for 9 years. I've seen the help you've given people, financial and otherwise.
I received good publicity for it.
But you never looked for publicity.
I knew it was coming. I was buying popularity. I bought my way to a listening audience of 12 million people.
People who trust you and have faith in you and love you.
Love. I bought that, too. The calculated purchase. Good old Hal Swinton, the guy who plugs for the underdog, the magic voice that can bring tears to the eyes, yeah, with violin music in the background.
Even the critics are nicer to you than that.
I'm a fake, Verna.
No, I won't believe that.
You don't even know me.
I think I do.
Well, I'm going to show you how wrong you are. You're going to learn what makes me tick. I hired you 9 years ago. You kept my secrets. I was able to trust you every second. A few times I almost told you about my past.
I wish you had. I may have been able to help.
I didn't deserve your help.
How?
Look, Verna, I'm a louse. Every good deed that I came up with, every tear that I brought to the listener's eye, they were all part of a program, a campaign dedicated to the advancement of Hal Swinton. I had one eye on my bank account and the other on my listener rating. Nothing else mattered.
Hal, I don't...
Let me go on. On my birthday and for Christmas, nice old ladies send me cakes and sweaters and scarves. Priests and ministers send me long letters of thanks for my Christian attitude. Presents and good wishes from all over the country. There's even a small town in Missouri that wants to erect a memorial to me. Well, if they do, it'll be a memorial to a ghost. Because there is no Hal Swinton. The phony Hal Swinton was born a little less than 10 years ago. Before that, I was Charles Patrick Fletcher.
It doesn't matter who you were or what you were.
Verna, 10 years ago, I was a petty thief.
A thief?
And on top of that, a card shark. Why do you think I never allow photographs of myself to be taken? I told you and everyone else that I wanted to be just a voice, an anonymous public conscience. Truth is, I was afraid someone would recognize me. That's exactly what happened.
What?
Yeah. That's why a few weeks ago I started to get information on Warren Burke.
You mean Burke? He found out about your past?
Yes. Only two people at the station know where I have my office and apartment. One of them must have let it out. I don't know who, and it doesn't matter. But last week I received a phone call from Warren Burke. He said he knew that I'd killed a man.
Killed?
And I have.
How?
It's a bit of a shock, isn't it?
But There must be some explanation.
Well, this is exactly how it happened. I was in a mining town in Oregon. I was card-sharking my way to the stake so I could go east. One night, I won quite a lot of money. Later, a fellow came to my hotel room. He'd been watching the card game. He had one of the decks we'd been using. He showed me the marks in the cards, marks that I'd made with my thumbnail. In other words, he had proof that I'd been cheating. He demanded $1,000. I hit him, and he pulled a knife. We struggled, and I grabbed the knife. I left town on a bus an hour later. Changed my name and my appearance, and I came here.
It was self-defense.
That wouldn't matter if the story came out.
And has Burke threatened to bring it out?
Oh, yes.
Blackmail. Is that it?
Oh, there's no money involved. Burke just wants me to say nice things about him. If I help to make him popular, he'll keep my identity a secret.
You said you'd started to get information on Burke.
Yeah, I went to see a private detective. A fellow with ideals. I told him to write his own ticket as far as expenses went, but he refused to accept my offer of double rates. As I said, a man with ideals.
And?
Well, this private detective knew his way around. He contacted people who could hurt Burke. Most of them were frightened people, but finally he got to two who not only decided to talk, but who gave him information on paper. Information that, amongst other things, proves that Burke uses hires killers.
And you, of course, have this information.
Yes, and I'm going to let 12 million people know about it over the air tonight.
But, Hal, you don't have to do that. Burke has something on you, but now you've got something on him. You can force him to keep quiet.
Let me tell you some more about this private detective I hired. He was an ex-cop. He resigned from the police department because he was disgusted with the bribery and corruption in this city. His name, Pete Andrews.
Andrews?
You read about him in the papers yesterday.
He was murdered.
Yes, his body was found floating in the river. He'd been tortured.
Well, then, Burke?
Who else? Burke must have found out that Andrews was asking questions about him. Had him picked up. Tortured him. Trying to find out if he'd learned anything. Everything points to the fact that Pete Andrews didn't break. He was one of the bravest men I've ever met.
Oh, hell.
Now do you see why I've got to expose Burke? I let Pete Andrews in on my secret. I told him I'm Hal Swinton, but I didn't tell him my motive for wanting information on Burke. He had faith in me, Vanna. Under extreme pain, he never lost that faith.
He thought you were going to expose Burke over the air.
That's right. I lied to him. All I wanted was evidence against Burke, so he couldn't blackmail me. But Pete Andrews trusted me. I find that I just can't let him down, that I've got a conscience after all.
Hell.
You understand now, don't you?
Yes.
Nothing else I can do, Vanna.
No one ever comes here. Hell.
Quiet. Who is it?
Warren Burke.
What? What are you going to do?
You go into the other room, Burke. There's a gun in there, in my closet.
Gun?
Just in case. Now go.
All right, Hal.
Come on, open up.
Just a minute.
Hello, Swinton. This is Swinton, isn't it, Carl?
Yeah. Alias a guy named Fletcher. Remember me, friend? I was playing in that card game 10 years ago.
So that's how you found out, Burke.
Yes. But let's not talk here in the hall.
Come in.
Thank you. Well, Swinton, I'll call you that instead of Fletcher. In fact, I won't let anyone know your name is Fletcher. Unless, of course, you refuse to do business with me.
Before we discuss business, there are some things I'd like to know.
Yes?
How did you get onto me, Carl?
I saw you walking on the street one day. You changed your appearance a lot. Well, your hair different. Shaved off that mustache you used to sport. But I got a good eye. I remembered you right away.
And because Carl always plays the percentages, he followed you here. He watched the place. So an executive of the Universal Network come and leave.
When he left, he had something under his hand that he hadn't come in with. A tape recording. So, on a hunch, I followed him. He went to the radio station, gave the recording to a dame. Later on, I made a play for the dame.
And learned that the recording had been made by radio's phantom voice, Hal Swinton. You rented this apartment office under the name of John Morgan. I pulled a few strings and got your private phone number.
Then no one at the station realizes you're under my secret.
I don't want anybody to know that, Swinton. It's better this way. You can build me up on your radio show. There are a lot of people in this town who say I control the rackets and the politics. They don't say it publicly, though. They don't have the nerve to. They know what might happen to them.
Yeah. Like what happened the other day.
Shut up about that call.
Sure, Mr. Burke. Sure.
Well, where do we go from here?
I want you to start that publicity campaign for me tonight. I want you to tell people that I'm a good guy, that I do a lot for charity, that I ain't as bad as people paint me. I want you to build me up as an upstanding citizen.
Why are you so interested in that?
I'm gonna run for mayor this year.
Isn't it enough for you to control politics from behind the scenes?
No. You see, I've got big ambitions. Mayor this year, maybe governor next year, and after that, the sky's the limit. And you're going to help me, Swinton. You're going to be my personal campaign manager. Either that, or the cops learnt you killed a guy. Now, what's he going to be?
You have me in a corner, Burke. I'm forced to play it your way.
Of course you are. It's now almost 5 o'clock. We know that the radio executive gets here to pick up the tape recording at 6:30, and your show goes on the air at 7:30. Naturally, you've got a tape recorder here, huh?
Yes.
Fine. Then Carl and me will stay around and listen to you make the recording. We'll be here when the executive arrives. And then we'll stick around some more, so we can hear the show on your radio. The three of us.
In just a moment, we return to our story, Exposé.
So, this is your office. Mm-hmm. Nice setup you've got here, Swinton. Oh, incidentally, when you record your show, are you always here alone?
No. No, not usually. Most of the time, my secretary's here.
Verna Martin. You see, we did a pretty thorough job of checking up on you. Why isn't he here today?
Well, I guess it's because I expected to be giving you some plugs.
And you didn't want her around?
Yeah, that's right.
Because you were ashamed of having to say nice things about me?
Well, I didn't want to have to explain to her. Not yet.
Make sure you've got a good explanation for it. Say you've been looking into my affairs and you find out I'm a great guy.
Yeah.
And act as though you mean it.
Yeah.
Better get started on this recording. There isn't much time.
Exactly what do you want me to say?
Oh, this first time I'll leave it to you. You're a top broadcaster. You're real good at this hearts and flowers stuff. You can ad-lib the show.
All right. All I have to do is start this tape machine.
Don't say anything while the tape's going, Carl.
Okay, Mr. Burke.
Here we go. This is Hal Swinton, program for broadcast tonight, 14th February. Straight broadcast, no background music. Commence in 5 seconds. Hello, America. This is Hal Swinton. Tonight, I want to talk about a man who is always being talked about, but rarely for publication. A man who has been privately cursed, maligned, and smeared. A man who has been thoroughly and completely misunderstood. Tonight, I want to clear up a few things concerning this man. His name? You'll recognize it. Warren Burke. Burke is widely known as the power behind politics. I hope now that you have a better understanding of this man. I hope I have been able to illustrate that Warren Burke is not only misunderstood, but that the whispering campaign against him in certain quarters is immoral. I repeat, immoral. For Warren Burke is a great citizen, and I predict that in the years to come, he will reprove it within the shadow of a doubt. Well, take care of yourself, friends. This is Hal Swinton, signing off. Okay, Burke, you can talk now.
Nice going.
Yeah. He did everything but say they ought to put up a statue of you, Mr. Burke.
Which he will be saying one of these days. Right, Swinton?
I suppose so.
How many people will hear the forecast?
About 12 million.
12 million?
Including the three of us. Get that tape off the machine and then let's sit down and wait for that guy to pick it up. You look on edge, Swinton. Why don't you relax?
Relax? How can I?
Meaning you don't like the idea of what's on that tape?
Meaning I don't like the idea of what you two know about me.
Don't worry. You just keep playing along with me and nobody'll ever learn that your name is Fletcher.
But I've got no guarantee of that. I trust you. But how about Carl here?
Carl does what I tell him.
He could blackmail both of us, you know.
Hey, what are you trying to pull, Swinton? You trying to get me in bed with Mr. Burke?
Take it easy, Carl. I know you wouldn't think of blackmailing me. I've got too much on you. Enough to send you up the river.
You always make sure you have something on a person, Burke.
Yeah. I find it's better for business that way. That's how I control this city. I give graft, and I make sure I can prove that the guy has accepted graft. Nobody ever learns anything about me unless I've got something on them.
And using that technique, you plan to rule the whole state?
First the state, then who knows what next? You stick with me, Swinton. You'll go places.
I've got no alternative, but...
What's the matter?
He looks scared.
What is it, Swinton?
On the desk. That typed expose on Burke. If he sees it, I'm finished.
Your face has gone white. You sick or something?
No. I'm all right.
He looks pretty sick to me.
That'll be the guy from the radio station. Go and give him the tape, Swinton.
Yeah. Just a minute.
Well, I guess they're now getting that tape ready for the broadcast, eh, Swinton?
Yeah.
1 minute after 7. In 29 more minutes, the whole country is going to learn what a great guy I am. Cigar, Swinton?
No, thanks. Don't smoke.
You know something? You want to look like you've got plenty of influence, the first thing to do is start smoking cigars.
You are, Mr. Burke. Light? What's the matter with this lighter? Out of fluid, I guess. Yeah, there's a lighter on the desk.
That desk lighter. It's next to the expose. If Carl looks at it.
Nice lighter. Crocodile skin.
Come on. Give me a light.
Sure, Mr. Burke. Here you are.
He's putting that lighter back in the desk. Don't look at that piece of paper.
Hey, what's this?
Carl, stop, don't!
What's the matter with you?
Give me that lighter, will you?
Here.
Thanks.
You know, you sure are acting funny.
He certainly is. What are you going to do with that lighter, Swinton?
Well,
You said you didn't smoke.
Well, I just don't like Carl handling my belongings.
Why, you talk like I've got some kind of a contagious disease.
You've got something on your mind, Swinton. Now, what is it?
Nothing, is it? My head. I've got a headache. There are powders in the other room. I'll go and get them.
You don't have to do that.
Why not?
Because you've got a real thoughtful secretary. There are headache powders next to that water jar.
Oh, I didn't see them.
Pour our friend a drink of water, Carl.
Sure. Here you are, friend.
The room where Vern is. The gun's in there. It's my only chance.
They're still in the office. Mason called. Hal must have given him a recording. What are they doing out there? What should I do?
We'll be be back in just a minute to peril and our story, Exposé.
Ten after seven. Only 20 minutes till the broadcast.
I can't let that tape recording go on the air. I can't.
Swindon, how's that headache of yours? Any better?
Yeah, it's much better.
You sure don't look like it's any better. Say, is it okay if I turn the radio on, Mr. Burke? Get some music or something?
No, leave it off till it's time for the broadcast.
I'm getting kind of fidgety just sitting here. Hey, Swinton, got some magazines a guy could read?
Outside, I think.
I go and get them. Knocked over that piece of paper.
Don't touch it! I'll pick it up.
Wait a minute. Carl, hand me that piece of paper.
Sure.
What? That's about me.
I wasn't going to use that
script for broadcast. Pete Andrews. So he was working for you.
Andrews? The guy we knocked off?
A double cross. Why, you dirty...
Watch out! He's got the water jug. He's going to throw it. Say just as you are, Swinton, or this gun blows you in half. Mr. Burke. He's out cold. You're going to be sorry you tried to pull something. You...
Verna!
Get down, Hal!
I'll get his gun.
I heard shots in the fight. Hal, that man, did I...
No, he only creased his head with a bullet. He'll live. Verna, listen, we've got to work fast. Are you all right?
Yes, Hal.
Can you hold that gun on him for a while? Can you do that?
Yes, I can.
Put me through to Philip Mason. It's extremely important. Yes. Hello, Philip, listen. It's Hal here. There's no time to explain. Just listen. That tape you picked up, destroy it. Yes, I said destroy it. And get A-Studio ready. Tonight it won't be a recorded broadcast. I'll be there in person. And one more thing. Phone the police. Tell them to come here to my apartment. Tell them to come immediately. You'll understand later. Good. Thanks. I'd like to leave you here till the police arrive.
All right.
I'll drive straight to the studio in my car. In just a minute.
You better leave right now. Don't worry about me.
A couple of more minutes won't matter. They can cover for me at the station if I'm late. There are a few things that I want to tell you.
Yeah?
I'll go to jail for that man I killed. Maybe what I'm doing tonight will be in my favor, but I'll still go to jail. It'll be manslaughter. I could get 10 years. But, Verna,
I'll wait. Is that what you want me to say?
Yeah. Yeah, I've got no right to ask you, but I need you.
You should have said that a long time ago.
I've loved you for 9 years, but I couldn't ask you to marry a coward, a thief, a liar.
Tonight you're wiping away the past. Now, please go, darling, and make a good job of it.
Yeah. You know, suddenly I feel clean. Clean.
And that concludes tonight's peril story, Exposé. I'll be back in just a moment.
Well, friends, we hope you've enjoyed tonight's story. Join us again next week when we shall hear another exciting experience. Moments of danger and mystery in people's lives in our dramatic stories of Peril.